Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. We've got quite a bit to go through today. We are now finally in Tesla's S&P 500 Inclusion Week. So we're going to, of course, talk a bit about the stock, a little bit more than usual this week, I'd guess. We do have an announcement from the S&P on Friday that we'll talk about briefly. I'm sure people have heard that by now. Then we also have a couple of leaked emails out of Tesla. I think that'll be most of the focus today, the implications of those emails. And then we have some news on Volkswagen and a couple other stories as well. Tesla stock on the day today finished up 4.9% to $639.83. That compared to the NASDAQ up 0.5%. And that close was the third highest all-time for Tesla, getting pretty close to the peaks that we saw from last week. So taking a quick look at volume, this is going to be really interesting to follow throughout the course of the week. But volume today, I would say, still, you know, relatively low. The average since the S&P 500 inclusion announcement, average volume has been 51.5 million shares traded each day. Today was only about 51.1 million shares. So even a bit below that average, even though we're now heading into the final days before inclusion. And because we had our live stream conversation with Dave Lee on Friday, we didn't talk about volume then, but it was also pretty low, 46.4 million shares on Friday. Also on Friday, after market close, we got an update from the S&P committee about which company Tesla will be replacing in the S&P 500 index. Turns out that is Apartment Investment and Management Co., which is undergoing a spinoff, part of which will be then included instead in the mid-cap S&P 400 index. So probably most people don't care too much about that, but the more exciting announcement here was that the S&P will actually be adding Tesla to the S&P 100 index, as well as the S&P 500. In a nice showing of symbolism, Tesla in the S&P 100 will be replacing Occidental Petroleum, though that company will stay in the S&P 500. So we've talked at length about why the S&P 500 inclusion is a big deal, but what about this S&P 100 stuff? Well, in short, it's definitely not nearly as close to being as important as the S&P 500. The S&P 100 is a group of the larger companies in the S&P 500, not necessarily the 100 largest, but the mean market cap, for example, of these 100 companies is $207 billion, the median market cap $134 billion, which puts the total market cap of the index at about $21 trillion in total. That's about two-thirds of what the S&P 500 index is in total. But that market cap, that's really just used to figure out weighting. So what's really important is the amount of assets that are tracking or are benchmarked to the S&P 100. And unlike the S&P 500, the S&P doesn't actually tell us the amount of assets that are tracked or benchmarked for the S&P 100. They do tell us that there is an iShares S&P 100 ETF, and that has about $7 billion in assets under management. At Tesla's current market cap, they should come into the S&P 100 at a weighting of about 2.9%. So for $7 billion in assets under management, 2.9% of that would only be about $200 million or about 300,000 shares of Tesla that this iShares ETF will need to buy, compared to the roughly 115 million shares that will need to be purchased by S&P 500 index tracking funds. That 300,000 shares or so is pretty much nothing. Now, there could be other assets that are also tracking the S&P 100 that are not listed here by the S&P, but even if there were, I would have to imagine the amount would be pretty negligible. More important than causing any buying of Tesla shares, I think, is probably just the reflection on Tesla as a company that being included in the S&P 100 gives. The fact sheet for the index reads, quote, "The S&P 100 consists of 100 companies selected from the S&P 500. To be included, the companies should be among the larger and more stable companies in the S&P 500 and must have listed options," end quote. So that more stable terminology there, I think, is pretty important, and that reflects strongly on the S&P committee's opinion of Tesla and its valuation. Obviously, based on size and market cap, Tesla should be in the S&P 100, but the S&P 500 committee could easily exclude them if they felt like Tesla's valuation was unstable. So I would view that vote of confidence as more important, more impactful than whatever funds may need to track this smaller index. We'll continue to talk about the S&P inclusion process throughout this week, but now let's move on. We have a couple of interesting leaked emails here from Tesla from Elon Musk. We'll go in, I think, chronological order here, the first of which is from Elon Musk, and this was first reported on, I believe, by Tasmanian. So this one was on Friday. Elon Musk reportedly writes, quote, "We are fortunate to have the high-class problem of demand being quite a bit higher than production this quarter. To ensure that we have the best possible outcome and earn the trust of the customers and investors who have placed their faith and hard-earned money with us, we need to increase production for the remainder of the quarter as much as possible. I would only send this note if it really mattered. By the way, please send me a note directly if you see ways to improve output, but feel that your voice is not being heard," end quote. All right, so these leaked emails from Elon have pretty much become a quarterly tradition at this point. And relative to what we have seen for the last few quarters, this one is pretty tame, I would say. So first, just to clarify, Elon saying they have a high class problem of demand, I would just interpret that as Elon saying it's a good problem to have. And I think for people that are bullish on Tesla, nothing too surprising there. On the last couple of quarterly earnings calls, Elon has made positive comments about demand. He reiterated that sentiment at his recent talk in Germany for that Axel Springer Award. There are people in the United States, namely me, that have waited 2+ months to get a vehicle. And as we talked about in that live stream on Friday, there really haven't been price cuts this quarter, other than, of course, the Model S, which we'll talk about here in a second. And in fact, Tesla this quarter has actually increased the price of the full self-driving option. So following this email from Musk, CNBC on Saturday reported that also on Friday, Tesla had sent an email to employees that work on the Model S and X production lines saying, quote, "Hi team, the S X lines will be shut down for the holidays starting December 24th and returning January 11th. We would like you to take the opportunity to refresh or spend time with your family, so Tesla will be giving you a full week pay for the week of January 4th. There will also be limited paid opportunities for you to support other shops or volunteer for deliveries during some of this time," end quote. The email then continues on to outline those days and options. So perhaps it's not coincidental that Musk emails the company saying, hey, we are production constrained, not demand constrained, before this email is leaked out about shutting down the S and X production lines. I mention that because with this shutdown, there are sort of 2 to 3 obvious conclusions. The first, okay, Tesla's shutting it down because they have excess production capacity and they don't want to keep making Model S and X vehicles and creating excess inventory. The second, okay, Tesla is shutting down because they're refreshing the S and X. And then the third, maybe a little bit less obvious, but should be just as obvious, maybe Tesla is just doing the shutdown for normal maintenance. Contrary to maybe popular belief, that does actually happen. Going through these possibilities, we'll start with that last one. I do actually think that's pretty unlikely in this case. This is pretty short warning here for Tesla. They're really giving them, 2 to 3 weeks of heads up on the schedule. It's possible Tesla was just trying to wait and see how orders were coming in to figure out the best optimal time for this, but it seems like they've picked that time that would be seemingly obvious from the start anyway, with being sort of that last week of the quarter where any of that production is more difficult or even relatively unlikely to be able to make it into the hands of customers by the end of the quarter. So if this were just planned normal maintenance, they could have let employees know about that probably ahead of time, or at least given them a heads up. So that suggests maybe some reason for a little bit of secrecy or delay in alerting these employees, and that could maybe suggest a potential refresh. We'll come back to that in a second, but then just to address the demand part, I do think that if there were demand issues, Tesla would probably want the shutdown to be entirely in one quarter. Otherwise, you're just producing excess inventory that you don't think you're going to be able to sell, and that's going to hurt your financials for that quarter more than it would if you were to shut down that production earlier on in the quarter, so you have that full 2.5 weeks off, not building up that excess inventory. So from a financial perspective, that seems relatively unlikely to me. And then the other thing I would add is we did see that price drop on the S. So if any quarter was going to have good demand, it should be this quarter where we have that price drop and you have naturally stronger demand in Q4. I don't see a ton of reason to believe that all of a sudden S demand just fell off a cliff from where it was in Q3, for example. And then considering Model X, we didn't see a price drop like we did for the Model S on the X. We definitely could have if Tesla had been hurting for demand. Now, none of this is to say that Tesla has unlimited demand for the S and the X. I think it's been pretty clear over the course of this year that those products, those two products, not Tesla as a whole, just S and X, maybe even just S, have been demand constrained. Tesla has consistently listed their production capacity at Fremont as 90,000 S and X combined. That's about 22,500 per quarter. You have to account a little bit for downtime on top of that, but Tesla for the last few quarters, when they haven't been constrained by production shutdowns from coronavirus, they've only been producing, 14,000 to 18,000 S and X per quarter. So production being below that level without any really great reason like a production ramp up does indicate a demand constraint. But remember, demand is not just this one overarching thing for the entire company throughout the entire world like it is often characterized. Tesla can have a demand constraint on the S and X, but have a supply constraint on the Model 3 and the Model Y, for example. And as we approach quarter ends, which is actually going to be the exact same case this quarter, Tesla does sometimes have quarter end incentives, and then people go, oh, well, Tesla, demand issue. Again, it's not that simple. Tesla for a long time has not built to order, so they're just producing, as many vehicles as they can. They're shipping them to where they think they're going to be needed. But in those final days of the quarter, if they can pull a little bit of a lever to make sure that stock that they have produced and shipped matches up with the localized demand, they're going to go ahead and do that. And especially in the case of incentivizing deliveries that are closer to where the actual vehicle is being produced. You know, if Tesla can find a buyer on December 31st for a Model 3 they just produced that day, they're going to go ahead and do that and ship it right next door to Fremont versus putting it on a boat and shipping it across the ocean for a few weeks to someone that maybe has been waiting a little bit longer. That's going to be financially beneficial for Tesla, and as they approach the end of the year, where hitting a certain delivery target is more important than it might be in, say, Q1, for example, it makes sense to do that. But that also does not mean they have a demand problem, and they just have to balance those decisions versus the wait times for customers that maybe have been waiting longer. Along these same lines, after that SNX shutdown email came out, Electrek reported that, quote, Electrek learned that Tesla has already achieved its goal for Model S and X deliveries this quarter, and now it is focusing on increasing Model 3 and Model Y production for orders and inventory that they could quickly deliver locally, mainly in California and China, according to sources familiar with the matter, end quote. As for what that goal might have been, who knows, but in Q3, Tesla delivered a little over 15,000 SNX combined, and they produced just under 17,000, so I'd have to imagine for Q4, even with this shutdown, they have been targeting to exceed that. In my forecast for Q4 that I did over a month ago, I was looking for about 19,000 SNX produced in Q4. We may see a bit lower than that now with this last week shutdown, but again, because that is the final week, that really shouldn't affect deliveries all that much, and I still think we could see deliveries around that level. So for those many reasons, I'm not buying a demand-related shutdown, which kind of leaves us with that option of a refresh. So there have been persisting rumors about an SNX refresh since really 2017 when the Model 3 came out, with the horizontal screen, redesigned HVAC, interior camera, now we have things like the heat pump, but we have yet to see it happen, and I think many in the Tesla community are fed up with even talking about the idea at this point. I've been skeptical of these things in the past too, but at this point, I am ready to throw the towel in. I do think that this is finally when we get the Model S and X refresh. I think all the logic that we just walked through points to that. If we also look closely at this leaked email, they say, we would like you to take the opportunity to refresh or spend time with your family. So they're literally using the word refresh in this email, which sure, on top of all this other stuff, could be coincidental. And it's not like it would be extremely weird to say that, but it is a little bit odd in terms of phrasing. And then for the last month or two, maybe even a little bit longer than that, there have been rumors persisting around Reddit that a refresh was coming for the S and X sometime for Q1. It seems to me like there have been a couple of supposed leakers giving a little bit of information on this, and it's not very clear. They're obviously very vague in their comments, but from what I can tell, it seems like the expectation would be that the exterior for the S would be redesigned so that it sort of meshes the design language of the Roadster with the S. Who knows what that could mean for the Model X. Apparently, they're not going to be the 4680 cells. That one, I think, is a huge question mark, but as we've heard Tesla say, they do intend to use those 4680 cells to support Berlin, at least at the start. And I don't really see how that can be true if they intend to use that pilot line production here for the S and the X. Remember, the pilot line is supposed to be at peak, about 10 gigawatt hours per year in terms of output. That would support 100,000 100 kilowatt hour packs. Who knows what size a new pack could be? It could be even larger than that. So if that's going to SNX, well, there's not going to be much left to support Giga Berlin, and it's also not like the pilot line is likely up to full speed to that 10 gigawatt hour per year capacity quite yet. So that would leave a lot of open questions, and then the other rumor that I've seen is that there would be a change in the number of screens, but it would not be a decline in the number of screens. So that would mean more than two, but who knows if that would be in the front or in the back or what that would be. Again, that is all very speculative. I'm hesitant to share it, but I feel like I'd be doing a disservice if I did not. But they are just rumors. We've seen rumors like this be wrong before. But aside from those details, I do still expect this to be the time of the refresh, and we will find out very soon. Oh, and last thing on this, who knows what this means for Plaid? I don't know if the Model S Plaid could be a part of this, and maybe we see that earlier. I think they had said late 2021. Or if there's a refresh, if this would just be the platform that will eventually lead to Plaid late next year. I'll look forward to reading everybody's speculation on all this in the comments today. All right, earlier around our demand conversation, I did mention year-end incentives. Electrek and Teslarati have reported that from December 12th to December 31st, Tesla for Model 3 and Model Y vehicles will be offering a year of free supercharging. So Electrek says that it is for all undelivered Model 3s and Model Ys, and then Teslarati, who spoke with the delivery advisor, says that the promotion applies to any inventory Model 3 and Model Y vehicles. That to me seems more likely, but I have asked my delivery advisor if it will apply to mine. Of course, I'm in that delivery window, but that was just a couple hours ago, and I haven't heard back yet. So you may look at that and think, oh, Tesla needs to pull these demand levers. They don't have their order book filled for the end of the year. But my interpretation is more about the localization and the mix of vehicles that are being offered. Tesla may have some inventory right now, and if you go online, they actually do, even for 2021 versions of the Model 3, for example. but they don't have inventory on every version of all their cars in every location. For example, it looks to me like all the 2021 model year Model 3s that are in inventory are the standard range variety. Also kind of interesting because those were shipped out before any of the long range 2021 versions. So it's kind of interesting why Tesla chose that path, but that's sort of an aside. The point here is that Tesla can use these little incentives to pair up their inventory with buyers, even if it might not be the exact spec that those buyers would order themselves. And it also generates some word of mouth to get some of those last minute orders from locations that may otherwise have a car sitting there that would then need to be shipped across country somewhere else and maybe not able to be delivered in time before the end of the quarter. Now, any bears, of course, will say I have a huge Tesla bias for going down this rabbit hole to sort of explain this stuff, but this line of thought is really not that deep, and we'll find out when we get the final numbers at the end of the quarter. All right, last couple of things here. We did get an updated note from Jefferies on Friday. So they actually increased their price target on Tesla from 500 to 650, but they did drop their rating from buy to hold. So I did want to briefly cover that. They say, quote, "Our downgrade of shares to hold does not affect our confidence in Tesla's competitive edge based on multiple levels at which Tesla is challenging the auto industry business model. We don't believe that Tesla can dominate the industry given the latter's size, structure, and politics. Nevertheless, the multiple challenges to the industry business model, parentheses EVs, batteries, software, autonomy, design to manufacture, and direct selling, end parentheses, ensure a durable competitive edge with the messianic brand reaching far beyond autos from battery supply to grid storage and autonomous driving," end quote. So, I mean, they paint the bull picture pretty simply there with that parenthetical, but they just don't believe that's going to lead to Tesla dominating the industry. Hence the downgrade, even with that price target increase. Not much else in that note stuck out to me other than a comment here on Volkswagen, which will be our last subject of the day. We finally got some closure in the ongoing meetings between Group CEO Herbert Diess and Volkswagen's Executive Committee Supervisory Board with a release from Volkswagen today, which reads, quote, "Volkswagen Supervisory Board agrees on management positions and reorganization of Group Board, stronger focus on cost planned," end quote. So in terms of what Diess had been angling for, which was a contract extension and some changes in terms of the board's structure, it seems like there were some compromises that were made. Diess did not get his extension as of yet, and from my read, that seems to be off the table for now until it would normally come up again. But on the plus side for Diess, it sounded like from previous reports that he had been seeking to install Dr. Arno Antlitz as CFO, VW announcing that that change will be made when current CFO Frank Vitter steps down in June. It had also been reported that Diess had been pushing for a larger role from Thomas Schmall in terms of the board, and I'm not entirely clear on the structure here because they are sort of reorganizing things, but Volkswagen says that they have a new board of management function called technology, and that will be led by Schmall. So from what I can tell from reports, it seems like Diess won on the CFO, it was sort of a compromise here in terms of the board, and then Diess seems to have lost in terms of his push for a contract extension. The board does, however, say that Herbert Diess and his new board of management team have full support for implementation of Together 2025 Plus strategy. I think they're trying to focus the press release around that, but not really sure why that should be a focus because they announced that Together 2025 Plus strategy back in June of 2019. So I guess glad to hear you're still aligned there, Volkswagen. They also note in the release that Diess and the board, quote, "have the supervisory board's full support not only when it comes to the new orientation towards electromobility and digitization, but also the increase of efficiency and profitability in all our brands and parts of the group," end quote. All right, sounds like after some, you know, intense debate, Volkswagen has come to the conclusion that, yeah, they're going to adapt for the future with electromobility and digitalization, but at the same time, they're also going to increase their efficiency and profitability in all brands and parts of the group. Dang, what a strategy. Like, that's fantastic. Sounds great. Best of luck with that plan, and I'm sure an emphasis on profitability is exactly what you need right now in this transition stage. As I mentioned, that Jefferies note that we talked about for Tesla, they did talk about VW in that note. And again, this was Friday before today's news, but I thought they captured the essence of the problems with Volkswagen's management well, saying, quote, "Current tensions at the board level regarding management appointments illustrate again the complex balance of power at VW, where multiple parties can block, but there is no clear control," end quote. So again, credit to Diess for the push that he is making. That's not easy to do by any means, but what I've seen over the last couple of weeks here from VW does not inspire a lot of confidence for me. All right, last thing before you go, just make sure you're subscribed, signed up for notifications, but as always, thank you for listening. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, December 15th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.